Well, good church, what a wonderful day it is that God has given to us. It's supposed to get above freezing today, so that's a positive. So we're here to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2, very familiar Christmas story that we will share together. One of the things we have to be careful of is that we hear the Christmas story so often that we can become desensitized to it. And there's so much depth and richness in this story of Jesus' birth that we need to grow from. And we can still glean every year something from God's Word to help us understand more about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We definitely do not want to be desensitized to God's Word, because God's Word always has something to say to us. If we'll only take time and to study a little bit, not just read over the top, but to study God's Word. So if I had to title this message this morning, it would be The Glory of God in Christmas. Begin reading in verse 1. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabitants of the earth. Now, what's really interesting here, Caesar Augustus, was his real name was Octavian. He was in a battle over the Roman Empire, which included Israel. And the streets were very dangerous in Israel and all the Roman Empire while this battle was going on. And finally, Octavian beat the other two out, and the Senate named him Caesar Augustus. So here he is wanting to get a census of all the kingdom for taxation purposes. Here we are. So this is the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to be registered for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths. Your translation may have swaddling cloths. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths or swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all he had done, all they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. Let's pray together. Father God, take your word, bring it to life to us today. Let us not be so desensitized to this wonderful, beautiful message that you give to us. There's so much symbolism inside of it, God. I know we don't have time to cover it all today, but Father, bring your word to life to us. Teach us something today very special about this birth of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. So who were these shepherds? Well, we've been told for many years in this Christmas story that these shepherds were pretty rowdy guys. And they lived out in the wilderness with the sheep. And yeah, there were a group of guys that were out there who were, man, they were, a lot of them were ex-criminals. Matter of fact, they were steel thieves. They would steal sheep from the owners, and or they would steal wool, or they would steal milk, and you know, and sell that to the side, kind of had a little illegal business going on to the sideline at the owner's expenses. These guys, the Mishnah says that they didn't even have a voice in court. They could not go testify. They were incompetent. Matter of fact, they couldn't even go to the temple. That's one group of these shepherds. But there was also another group of shepherds. Shepherds that were trusted men. Matter of fact, they kept the flock for the temple. Because remember, they still had animal sacrifices going on at the temple. So when we read this story, this account, we're not sure if it was those rowdy guys out in the wilderness or the guys who were right next close to Bethlehem. But the scripture says that there were shepherds in the region of Bethlehem. So now our minds begin to think that what maybe these shepherds were those guys who've been trained to take care of these sheep who were there meant for the temple sacrifices. These sheep had to be perfect. No blemishes, no scars, no wounds, no spots. Perfect sheep. So either these were Levitical priests acting and working as shepherds for these sheep, or these were shepherds who had been trained to specifically identify the very things needed for a sacrifice of these sheep. They knew what these Passover lambs would look like. So these shepherds, we begin to understand a little bit more about. Scripture says that they were told, and prophecy says that Christ was born in Bethlehem and in the regions around Bethlehem. And that's where the sheep for the temple were raised. So these shepherds, more than likely, those who were trained to spot out those lambs and care for those lambs meant for the temple sacrifice. For these guys were honorable and trustworthy. And as we begin to see more into this story, that these shepherds were not instructed by these angels exactly where to go to find the baby Jesus. No, because when the angels gave them instructions, they knew exactly where this baby would be born. In the Tower of Sheep. They knew that. This was a tower there in the fields right along Bethlehem, and these pastures, these fields where they kept these sacred sheep at. This tower was located less than a mile outside of Bethlehem, and this is where they brought all these ewes who were going to be having little small lambs. If you go into the Greek, this manger sometimes can be translated as a stable. So when they said that the baby would be born in a manger, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, cloths. Well, these shepherds knew exactly. The stalls were inside this tower of sheep. They knew that these stalls were there, and this is where the sheep would be born at, and they would take these cloths and wrap it around these sheep so they could take it and hold it, and it wouldn't be kicking against them, and they could inspect that sheep. So they knew when the angel told them of this birthing place in a manger, they knew that that was right over there in that tower. And they knew these swaddling cloths, a baby was going to be wrapped into the same cloths that these sheep were wrapped into. Now let's get the symbolism. They were raising sheep for temple sacrifice, lambs that would be slaughtered to cover the sins of the people. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Here he is, born in the same location, wrapped in swaddling cloths, just like these sacrifices would be. Can you see the depth and the richness now? And why would these shepherds who were so close understand what the angels were talking about? Because they were very much aware of the prophecies found in Micah. Over in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Listen to this prophecy. But as for you, talking about Messiah here, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth to me to be a ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Here we're beginning to see now that the Old Testament prophecy in Micah is telling and foretelling that Bethlehem is the place that the Messiah would be born. But if that same book, we go up one chapter in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, says, and you, O tower of the flock. Now our focus is not only just in Bethlehem, but this little tower, this place that was there to watch over the sheep and for these mother ewes to be brought in to birth their little lambs. It says, but as for you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. The former dominion shall come, kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. These shepherds knew and familiar with those passages in Micah. So when the angel announced to them the birth of the Son of God, they knew exactly where to go. They didn't have to search all over Bethlehem. They knew exactly where they're talking about. And they ran with haste to find the Messiah. The beauty that we have right here before us. In verse 8, says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields. These fields were right there around Bethlehem where these temple sheep were at. And these shepherds were trained and to understand where to go to. But listen, these shepherds, even though they had this special training, even though they worked these temple sheep, man, they were still lost in their sin. They still did not understand who Christ was. Let's take a walk a little bit with them, very hurriedly, through several things I want to show you about the glory of God. On that night that Christ was born, imagine you're one of these shepherds out there minding your own business. They're just watching the sheep, making sure predators are not coming. You're listening for any sticks that may break, any howling on the hillside, any growling that may scare the sheep. You're there tending this flock. You kind of like your job. You're out in the wide open country underneath the stars every night. A little campfire going to keep warm. And all of a sudden, Scripture tells us, all of a sudden, things change pretty quick. So there are five things I want us to pick up on in dealing with the glory of God to have this first Christmas that really hold true even for today. The first thing is this, is the glory of God changes everything. Could you imagine out on the hillside, then all of a sudden there's an angel? Your night just changed. See, when the angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds, accompanied by a great light, their first reaction was fear. Verse 9 says, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. I kind of think if an angel stood before me and things, my night just changed pretty quick, I'd be a little frightened myself. Terribly frightened in the Greek. Megas, meaning great, in the wildest sense. That's where we get our word mega from. Phobeo, the Greek word, means to put to flight, to terrify, frighten. That's where we get our word phobia from. So megasphobia, these guys were frightened. There was an angel there. Their night had been changed quickly. Immense fear came upon them. It was a common reaction in Scripture when angels would show up and God begin to reveal something to the people. These shepherds were in the field and in Bethlehem in this darkest of nights, staring at the stars, enjoying their job as best that they can. And a host, maybe thousands of angels join in this celestial celebration announcing the birth of Christ. Listen, the glory of God changes everything. It blew open the night sky, and these shepherds were never the same. Could you imagine if you're just minding your own business? Some of you were last night popping fireworks, gathered around a little fire, just enjoying the company of each other, some things, some family things going on. All of a sudden, thousands of angels in the sky. Well, yeah, I think your night's changed. See, the glory of God in His infinite beauty and excellence and infinite power made known and displayed for us to see. That's what these shepherds saw. So the angels didn't tell these shepherds exactly where to go, but they knew with their announcements. And they just couldn't pass up, listen, this opportunity, this appointment with destiny that God had already pre-planned out for them. They could not pass up the opportunity to see the Lamb of God. So after a short walk from the pasture, they found Christ's child and his parents. And they shared the news with them of what they've just experienced out in the field. They shared the news of what the angel said about their child lying here before them. You see, one thing we find about the glory of God, the gospel, it is no respecter of persons. The people who receive the message of the Lamb of God, that He came to me, and listen, they were flawed Jewish shepherds in charge of producing and protecting lambs. They were flawed individuals. God is no respecter of you and your wealth or your political position or your position in life. Your socioeconomic status, your educational level. God is no respecter of that. Or maybe as little as you have. Maybe the things that you don't have. God loves you the same as He does a person with high means. When God shows up, the glory of God shows up, listen, He changes everything. He'll change everything in your world, in your life. The second thing we see here is when confronted with the glory of God, it really exposes us for who we are. When God's Word speaks to us, the glory of God shines out to us, the Holy Spirit illuminates God's Word to us. Listen, it exposes us for who we really are. Before the glory of God can change you, you must first see yourself who you really are, for who you really are. You must see your sin and see your need for God. The only way you're going to come to salvation is if you see your sin. If you just think you're a good enough person to get there, you're sadly mistaken. You're not going to heaven because you think you're a pretty good person. No, you have to see your brokenness and your undoneness so Christ can change you. That's the only way that you see the need for saviors, if you saw your sin. And the glory of God exposes us for us. But man, over back in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 5, Isaiah has this vision of God. He sees God in his glory. And listen to the way the glory of God reflected onto Isaiah. Isaiah says, "Then I said, woe to me, for I am ruined or undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The glory of God has a way of exposing us for who we really are. Something similar is what happened to these shepherds. These shepherds were there minding their own business, and listen, when the glory of God shone about them, it exposed them. They had only been used to the rigors of religion. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ, but boy, you have the rigors of a religion. You've done all the classes. You've done all the steps. You've done everything that you said. Well, I can get to heaven if I've done all these things and be a good person. Listen, that's rigors of religion. That's man-made stuff. Salvation is in Christ, in Christ alone. In Christ alone, through grace alone, by faith alone. That's it. Salvation is in Jesus. Nothing that you've done or I can do to earn our salvation. These shepherds were exposed to themselves with the glory of God shining, reflecting here in these angels. The glory of God and the word of God spoken to them. And these shepherds begin to do a little soul searching here now. Realize that they were not worthy of the presence of such holiness. And when God's Word and the Holy Spirit illuminates God's Word, we realize that we're not worthy of what Christ has done for us. We're not. Because sometimes we think ourselves pretty highly. We think way too highly of ourselves. When in fact we're broken and flawed individuals in need of a Savior. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "There's none righteous, not even one." We often think more highly of ourselves than we should, and the glory of God exposes for who we really are. Look what the third thing we see. As the glory of God shows up, it does drive out fear and replaces it with joy. Because when you see your sin, when you see your undoneness, but then you see the love and the kindness and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, man, that fear of being exposed to the glory of God now pushes aside. And you see the love and the kindness and the tenderness and the grace of God coming and offered to us. Verse 10, 11 says, "But the angel said to them, do not be afraid." Now that was a big statement. They're out there in the pasture, minding their own business, raising sheep, just had a good night's supper, probably beans or something. And here they are, and the angel shows up and says, "Hey guys, don't be afraid. Don't be scared." He said, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Listen, the word of God delivered by the angel drove out fear and ushered in joy. That's what God's word does for us. Yes, it does expose us to who we are. Yes, it does see our sin and our brokenness. But boy, it always introduces us to the Savior, who's there waiting for us to respond to Him in faith and repentance. And listen, when we respond to Him in faith and repentance and our sins are washed away, that brings joy. Joy that surpasses anything that we've even understand today. Maybe you're here this morning, this Christmas morning. Maybe you're just a guest of ours here today. Maybe you haven't been to church in a while. You're just visiting with family. Understand this morning, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you and showing you your sin, showing you grace and the kindness of God. Why? Not to mash you down, but to draw you in to the Savior. What a wonderful day for you to have place your faith in Christ Jesus, to be born again in Christ, a day to celebrate his birth in your new birth in Jesus. This can be the day that you know the joy that floods your soul for all eternity. The glory of God drives out fear and ushers in joy. When Jesus forgives us of that sin, and that sin is in our past because he's already paid the penalty for it, and we receive and accept what he's done in our behalf, it drives out the fear. And oh, now the joy that's in our soul just emits out. It's a joy that even though life around us is not so good, we can still have a peace and a hope and a joy as we walk with the Lord through it. Salvation is by God in Christ. Listen, he gives you the gifts of grace and faith in order that you would repent of your sin and believe in him as Savior. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to condemn me. We know John 3:16 very well, but do you ever read verse 17? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So, Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know the things I've done in my life. You don't know how badly I've messed up stuff. I'm surprised that I'm even alive today. Man, you're just the person God's looking for. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross for you? If there were nobody else in this life, in this world, and it was just you, that he died on the cross for you. Even as messed up as you've been, as big a rap sheet as you can name off, all the things and all the darkest places that you've been, listen, Jesus died for you. Would you receive him as your Savior? He didn't come to mash you out. He came to call you home. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. Our sin condemns us already. Christ came to give us birth in a kingdom. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. God's patience and forbearance and kindness, listen, that leads us to repentance. The fourth thing I want to share with you is the glory of God creates trust in the Word of God. Verse 15 says, and the angels had gone away from them, into heaven. And the shepherds began saying to one another, could you imagine here's a little meeting with HR now. Hey, angels just gave this announcement and they're gone. So I think we need to have a business meeting here. Very quickly, they came together. Said to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Listen, these shepherds didn't wait around for second shift to show up. They didn't wait around for daylight and then, well, you know, in a few hours when daylight comes and the next group of guys come out and we'll go see it. But no, they went right away. The Word of God builds trust in us. The glory of God builds trust. We trust the Word of God. They trusted God's word that was spoken to them by the angels. And they said, let us go straight to Bethlehem. Not a coffee break. Let's not go back and tell our family. Let's go see what these angels had talked about. Listen, may we too take God at his word and believe it and act on it in faith. That's all they did was act in faith of what the angels had told them. The glory of God that changed their night, changed their life, says, we're going to take you at your word, angel. We're going to go see. And they left those sheep, went to find the true Lamb of God. Encountering the glory of God can and should change our perspective, even in our day-to-day lives. The glory of God, listen, will expose us for who we are. It will drive out fear and usher in peace and joy in Jesus, and it will give us great confidence in the promises of God. Let us go and see what the angel said. Let us trust God's word. Oh, Christian, today, can you trust God's word? Are you trusting God's word? Are you believing and trusting the promises that God has given to you as you live this life for Him? The fifth thing, and we're closing, is the glory of God should elevate the ordinary day-to-day execution of our lives. Listen, the glory of God, when we're exposed to the glory of God, when God has touched and changed our life, it should change our attitude and our demeanor about every day. Everyday life that goes on, wherever God has planted you, you should be a different person approaching that life. He planted you there for a purpose and for a reason. Verse 20. Since the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. So get the picture. They heard the angel. They had a gathering. Said, all right, boys, we need to go. They went exactly to where the angel did not say, but they knew where he was at. They went back to find Jesus. They saw him. They told Mary and Joseph. Everything the angel said is true. It's right here, lying before us. They were excited, and they began to praise God, worship God. They told everybody around that they could see and find. As the shepherds left the manger, excited, they told others. The shepherds went back. What does that mean? They returned. What did they return to do? Being shepherds. They went back to their sheep. They had an encounter with Jesus Christ. They saw God's word being fulfilled right before them. They were honored and blessed to be there in all their flaws and all their undoneness. Now they had trust and faith in God. They trusted who God, whose God deliverer would be, who the Savior, the Messiah, the King would be. Now they trusted Him. Now they're going back to tell everyone. But where did they go? Back to the sheep fields. God didn't call them into special missions around the world. God didn't call them all to be preachers now. God didn't call them out to be missionaries to go on this or this or this. They went right back to where God had planted them originally. That tells me that when you have an encounter with God, He wants what you are now different to go back to your everyday life. That job that you don't like so much, God planted you for a reason and for a season. It's not to say that you're going to be there forever, but you're there now. And God changes you to go there to be different. These shepherds went right back to doing what they were doing before, but they were different. See, there was something different inside of them. Their life on the outside had not changed. Those sheep still needed to be clean. Those sheep still needed to be led from one grazing place to another. They still need to be led to the water. They still needed to be cleaned. They still need to be sheared. They still needed to be milked and the milk soaked. They needed all this stuff still needed. Life still happened for these shepherds. But now they were different. Your life will still happen when you come to Christ. It doesn't mean that everything in your world is wonderful now. Matter of fact, the devil's not happy, so it might start getting a little worse. But now you are changed. You are different. You are a new person. And when you're a new person, oh my goodness, those things that used to bother you, that used to get you upset, now you see them as opportunities. Opportunities for you to grow, but opportunities for you now to invest in the lives of others who have once caused you issues and caused you problems. Now God is working through you to be a missionary on the site that He planted you. See, our life situations may not change, but we are different people. We're different people. The way we act, the way we react and interact, it's just different on a day-to-day basis. May we too learn to reflect over our lives and know who we are in Christ, that we are co-heirs to the kingdom of God. May joy flood our soul, not just this Christmas day, but every day when things seem to be so mundane, when life seems to be so hard and so difficult and so many challenges there and feels like we're being dragged down. Listen, may we understand the joy that floods our soul, that emits with us, that we are walking in the peace of God. May God flood your soul with joy, that you trust His Word to grow at least one degree. Listen, degree by degree by degree, more into the image of Christ. What happens when we encounter the glory of God? What happens when the Holy Spirit takes God's Word and brings it to us and enlightens our minds? Oh, listen. It drives out fear. The glory of God drives out fear. It exposes for who we are. Listen, the Holy Spirit will let you know when you've messed up. He lets me know. And it's not to push me down. It's not to make me feel bad about myself. But it's to bring me to a point of repentance so that my relationship with God will be close. That's what God wants with you, is a relationship that is close. Not with something in the middle. Not with some sin. No. He exposes us because He wants us to be close to Him in this close binding relationship. Oh, and the glory of God brings us joy and brings us peace. And the more that we trust God, the more that we trust God's Word, the more that we trust God's Word later. Because we build up this history of God taking care of our business for us. We take care of God's business. He takes care of our business. God works in our life. And it builds this trust over time. And we create this trust in God's Word. And you know what all that does? It changes who we are in our day-to-day activities and our day-to-day life. May this Christmas you truly understand the glory of God in His Son Christ and just what He did for these shepherds who were there. Showing them the Lamb of God, may He in your life show you the glory of God so that you trust Him, that you have peace, that you'll go back to work Tuesday, you go back to that daily activity, but you are different. You're changed. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, we thank You so much for Your great love. God, as we celebrate this time that's just set aside, this day that's just set aside, that we can focus on this miraculous birth, the incarnation, that God came in the flesh, the person of Jesus Christ. He's our Messiah. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. He's our Sustainer. Jesus is our everything. Thank You, God, for loving us so much that we have this privilege to gather and worship You. Not a baby in a manger, but to worship the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord, as we go our separate ways today, we celebrate with our families. We create memories and treasures together. God, we take You in our hearts, and from our hearts to our mouths, that we praise You and honor You and worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.